Did you know that players of People's Postcode Lottery have raised over £500 million for charities and good causes? They've also won £63 million in prizes so far this year, and it could be your postcode next. Visit postcodelottery.co.uk/radio before midnight on the 21st of May to play in the June draws. PPL managed lotteries on behalf of good causes 16 plus. Conditions apply. Play responsibly.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Coming up, he's been attacked by 2,000 seagulls. This week, he has crashed his Lamborghini tractor, the big Lambo. Farmer Clarkson will be joining us for a lockdown agricultural special, which promised to be very exciting. Plus, I've had a vision of the future, a new way to police the streets of this once proud nation. And the Woodman plugs a vocoder into his heroic little slot to celebrate the most influential man in modern music. And I would add to that the word...
Hey!
Sorry, that was just me on my own doubling up and doing a weird echo thing. Enjoy this.
Radio X.
So, I've had a big morning, Gaff.
Why?
Watched 3 straight hours of Moving to the Seaside shows.
No, you didn't.
I did. I watched A Place by the Sea, Fantasy Places by the Sea, Fantasy Homes by the Sea, and A Place in the Sun.
There's a theme here. Are you looking to
move? No, I find them just so addictive, these shows.
Yeah.
But can I say, Gav, you've got to record them.
Okay.
Because once you take out the adverts, which are all for death.
Are they? They're all retirement...
All of them. They're either saying, basically, retire to Spain, or think about your funeral.
How to take money out of your house.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
That's all it is.
When our George died, I was left with £7,500 built for funeral.
And people's joy that now they won't have to fork out. It's extraordinary how
amazing,
happy
yeah.
people are.
Sure.
Yes! I've cracked it!
I've made a great deal.
Prepare for funeral, love! Oh. You won't have to fork out! Anyway... So that's essentially the adverts of the same crowd.
Yeah.
You get carriage clocks, pension things as well. We put, you know, people getting off as usual. Yeah, yeah. You know. But we thought we'd go with that one because you get the Parker Pen. We like the Parker Pen.
Cruise holidays.
Yeah, cruise holidays. Yep, yep. But anyway, so I'm looking at these adverts. Would you believe, Gav, you know, we joke about what we love about coming out to somewhere like Al Gamora, Ben Almagato. They just make up these places.
They do.
You sort of vaguely think, I'm sure I've seen that in training. Ben and McGarvey.
Sierra Nevada.
No, that's, people have heard that. Be Sierra Malone. Sierra Malini. Yeah. It's because it's just been built.
It has, no ancient
city. Anyway.
That's right, yeah.
Sierra Fuego.
Sierra Fuego.
Del Americas.
Playa del Fuego.
We liked it because I always wanted to live in a castle, but we could never afford a 2-bedroom orange castle.
That's right.
The gardens in these shows where they're showing these pensioners, Gav.
Yeah.
It's just a pool.
Literally, yeah. It's a courtyard.
Geez, whoa!
If you're not careful, you're wet.
Yeah, you really are. You open that door, whoa! Don't go too near the window, love. You'll fall in.
Well, it's a bear trap, effectively.
It is, yeah.
Some kind of animal trap.
What I love is they're looking at houses, always about, you know, it's always, we're looking at about 120,000.
Yeah.
And you think it's 120 grand.
Yeah.
And the thing that blocked it today, in 2 different shows, I think A Place in the Sun and Fantasy Home.
They very rarely actually buy the apartment recommended.
No, they think about it. Yeah. The one we're going to think about is Property 5. You think, great, thanks for wasting my life as well. I think I'm obsessed with them, Gav. But you've got to record them because you must fast forward. You can't do
You can't do the ad.
Because the recap bit
it's
as well.
Too much, yeah.
I reckon...
Yeah.
You've got 5 properties, a quick glance around them. You could do the show. I've estimated, because I've sat...
How long is the show? Half an hour?
No, it's an hour.
Okay.
I've sat there with a stopwatch.
Yep.
And I estimated in one show, yeah, and this is being charitable,
yeah.
We have 3.5 minutes in an hour of actual...
New footage,
yeah.
It's like American Chopper, yeah.
Of actually looking around, I mean, it's not in the league of, you know, Kerswick Island.
Yeah, yeah, it's all recap.
Yeah, yeah, it's all recap.
And
flashbacks.
And
things
forwards.
We've seen before that weren't even in the show. They just put that effect on. Anyway, so A Place in the Sun. Today, Gav, they are, and as we say... What we love about here is, I suppose, what we found out, we've been coming here for years, and I suppose we just love the culture. He was actually saying, Gav,
The culture.
We the thing is, we just, I guess we love the culture is the point about it. Gav, he was actually chopping the fruit. He was chopping the fruit for the sangria.
For a punch.
In a vest, looking sunburned, while talking about how much he says, I suppose what we fell in love with is the culture. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the sun. That is 11 o'clock. That's not the evening
that's
yet.
That's morning sun.
That's a tiny, tiny shadow there.
Listen, the Spaniards love the afternoons, but I don't see them drinking at 10 in the morning.
No, then. No, well, unless they're truckers, in which case they like a couple of brandies before they...
With breakfast.
Yeah, with breakfast before they hit the route. Anyway, so I was watching this show today, yeah?
Yeah.
And there's a presenter on there from Liverpool. She's not as entertained. She doesn't give me the entertainment of A Place in the Sun's Jasmine.
Yeah.
Okay, if you'd like to come through. And there's still lots of room here for your crafts, which is always what she's selling them on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this one couple, they wanted a house by the sea.
Yeah.
They want a sea view.
Yeah.
And these are the things that's driving me mad at the moment. It goes, there's no sea view because the sea's about 20 minutes away. I'm thinking, that is not A Place by the Sea, is it?
No.
Which is what's driving me mad on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Fantasy homes by the sea, which were predominantly inland. Anyway, she's taken them 4 or 5 miles inland. Yeah, 20 minutes inland. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it's a local craft centre.
Oh, God.
It's just 4 pensioners painting. I'm thinking she's going to move there for that.
For a bit of pottery.
Yeah, anyway, there's also a Scouse woman in it who's blonde.
Yeah.
And I estimate her height at 7'5".
She's really tall.
Honestly, she goes in this place. Like, you must be shown around by a Wookiee. She just makes every house look tiny. As soon as she walks in the room, you're thinking, Christ alive, not a fit in there. Okay. It's a crazy addiction. It's a sick addiction. But, you know, what can I tell you?
Yeah.
Doesn't harm anyone.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Listen to this. A punch-up involving Chinese and Indian troops in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Which already sounds like a great movie, doesn't it?
That's
just
does.
A martial arts film.
It did.
Chinese and Indian troops in the Himalayas threatened briefly to reignite hostilities between the two nuclear-armed neighbours. Mm. I'm always amazed that the Indians have got, they've got nukes.
Yeah.
When they don't even make cars.
I know.
There's not even an Indian car. I think there's the Indian Enfield motorbike. It's like...
Right.
But you're sort of thinking it's the delivery system.
They've gone straight for nukes.
Yes.
Well, they really went...
But how are they going to deliver them? I don't know, but you wonder about the delivery system.
Sure.
It's amazing, though, that they can... They've got 42% of the world...
Yeah.
A space program.
It's mad.
Yeah, you just wonder about their priorities.
Sure.
Before we sort out poverty and starvation...
Let's go to space.
Let's get into space. And build something that can blow someone else to bits.
Yeah, wow.
Let's talk about, rather than talking about our own country, let's talk about annihilation. Why am I doing a northern accent?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Why anyway. Were the Chinese and Indian troops scrapping?
Get this. According to Indian officials, which does sound already like a bit of a Mexican handbag for later. Ah, the old Indian official, but it's not going to be.
Go on.
83936. According to Indian officials, the clash occurred along the frontier near the Naku La Pass in the state of Sikkim. Altitude of about 5,000 metres, so about, 15,000, 16,000 feet.
Okay.
4 Indian and 7 Chinese soldiers were injured in the brawl.
Wow.
About 150 soldiers were believed to be involved in total. Gav.
That's loads.
I know, but because of the arms race, it's just, it's like trying to be the richest guy in the world. You're never going to be him.
No.
No one's ever going to have it all. I know the Americans are there, but then it only takes someone in Iran to pay the world's greatest computer hacker. It doesn't matter what missile you build, as long as some guy on the keyboard says, just detonate that
just
one.
Add 20 just million
add that
to that
one.
Account.
I think I'll just shut down their sewage system while I'm about it.
Yeah.
And I better just flood that city with sewage. There we go.
Exactly.
Turn off the electricity.
So you think this could be a new unarmed combat?
Yeah, let's just make it fisticuffs.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
All wars fisticuffs.
In huge numbers.
Massive numbers.
Like whole platoons.
Yeah, all right up for it. We're going to get right in there today. I don't care how many there is, 50,000. Just 50,000, it boils down to... Because 50,000, you've got to remember, it goes... It'll halve.
Right.
It'll happen pretty fast.
You'll have different platoons, different squads.
No, individuals. It's mayhem. Yeah, you would.
Specialists.
I'd have the first wave going, then there's a wave behind that just give people a kicking.
Oh, so first wave for tripping people over.
First wave, you've got to send in your fisticuffs.
Okay.
The Royal Corps of fisticuffers. And then behind that, there's the people who just put the boot in. Right. Quite spiteful individuals who just...
The boot regiment.
Yeah, the boot regiment, yeah. A foot. They're a foot regiment, you're exactly right. But they put the boot in.
The light foot.
Yeah, you know, heavy. And then the heavy foot going after that. They put in a light foot, then the heavy foot going.
Is there a brigade that says, leave it, we've all had a drink?
No, you're just down to people who just take away people's casual wear and jewellery.
It needs thinking through. I love it, because no one's going to die.
I've thought it through. It's a machine. It starts off, it punches... It disables.
It's like the Cascade at the fairgrounds.
It disables and then strips, and you're left with literally a load of people just quite bruised, naked.
Yeah,
just with pants. Okay, we leave them with their pants. Yeah. But Gav. I just think it's a lot better, and also it's on designated battlefields. I think the world should chip in and buy the middle of Australia. Just for war.
As perfect.
Just always perfect.
Much smaller carbon footprint, too.
You're much smaller carbon footprint. Everyone's just there. You've all got your bases.
Yeah.
Same numbers for everyone.
Sure.
Getting there. It's all fisticuffs.
Very civilised.
All fisticuffs. Fisticuffs in 62 degrees C temperature.
Radio X.
Terrible things at the gym.
Why? What's going on?
Little Lion Man has been caught breaking in. He's caught breaking into a gym, yeah.
Right.
To commit a workout.
Right, during lockdown, yeah.
He pleaded guilty to wanting to work out. He said he has the right to work out. But, I mean, I wanted him to be deported.
Right.
But he is British. And he's born in Camden.
Okay.
So that's out.
Right.
But I said that's a good measure. Then he's out of our hair.
Yeah.
This is at my gym, P45. There's a guy, a little lion man. He looks exactly like Sandy Toksvig. But imagine her after a lot of steroids.
Yeah, and really broad shoulders, but he's quite short.
Really short, man. Mm. Really short.
He really is quite wide.
He laid out... he's got these clam digger shorts. He's got these trousers he wears. Yeah. No, he just likes them. Just when he's
tight, so tight.
No, he just wears them literally when he's in that sort of pre-shower stage, with his slides.
Right. And just when he's strutting around,
just moving
around.
They're disgusting.
Wow.
They're absolutely disgusting. I don't know. They're made by some weird company like Sport Europa.
Yeah, because he's got huge buttocks, hasn't he?
Yeah,
and
massive
it just looks
buttocks.
Odd in those really tight
really
clam
does.
Diggers.
Anyway, so he's got those. He's got those. He's got his pose down. Clannies really annoy me. Yeah. They really annoy me.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's in a lot of trouble. He really is.
Right.
He's in a hell of a lot of trouble, Gav, because we've got to make a decision at P45. Obviously, me and my friends, most of the guys I hang out with, are in the city.
Sure.
Hedges.
Property.
Property.
Yeah.
Really good guys.
Great guys. Great
good
bunch
guys.
Of guys. Yeah.
And we got together a while ago when a few people were leaving the city.
Yeah.
A lot of them investing in gastropubs.
Sure. Startups.
Sure. Sure. Startups. A load of startups.
Startups and
a lot
property.
Of startups.
Always property.
A lot of startups.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff on the internet.
Sure.
Consultants. Sure. Sure.
Sure.
So we bought this gym, P45. And basically, the ethos is when it comes to doing triathlon, when it comes to doing anything, we're going to compete, not complete.
Yeah.
We find it really sad to see those guys who start a marathon and they're doing anything and they're just thinking, they're just there. I'll just be happy to complete it.
Yeah. Participation.
Now, I see guys like this, and obviously not anymore, but in the past, I'd spit at them.
Yeah, because they're losers.
No, I don't mean like actually physically, but mentally. We'd look at them and like, what? Because if you give me the choice, compete or complete, look in my eyes. Look in my eyes! Sorry.
I know, I have to.
Compete, have to. Yeah? Do they say compete or do they say, I just want a being there medal?
Yeah,
No.
They're completing
eyes. No, they
eyes.
Don't. Yeah,
are complete.
You see me on an Ironman torno in, say, the Roddy, the big lands, yeah?
Sure.
If I'm tooling around the Roddy... I'm not there because I'm not in Lanzarote for the because I like volcanic beaches.
Hey, you're not there to make friends. I know. Yeah,
no one is. Actually.
No,
the Canary Islands. I'm not there to make friends, Gav.
No,
I'm there because I'm a competitor.
Sure.
I'm missing the gym. Do I look fat?
Yeah, a little bit.
Do I?
Yeah. I mean, don't get upset.
Do you think I've really
just like by 1%?
The trouble is, I've got such a big appetite.
Yeah.
If you're used to sitting down and eating like literally four kilo and a half chickens, that's what I eat before I go off, just to get a bit of gains.
Yeah.
Then I can't.
That's after the egg fest as well in the morning.
Hey, you know that. You know that, bro.
Because for you, the egg does come before the chicken.
You're getting up in my face now, yeah? Don't get up in my face, because that's a problem, yeah?
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
I know you just ragging.
I was all up in your face.
You're up in my face, so I'm going to start ragging on your ass. Yeah? You know me ragging on your ass. Anyway, Lion Man, jury's out for him. I will keep you posted, yeah?
Yeah.
I will keep... Interestingly, two of the guys there were like lawyers. I say like lawyers. They never... They've dabbled with law.
Right, right.
And both of them, that's Big Bill, the Latipus.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Quadrosaurus.
Yeah.
Gordon. They've refused to represent him.
Wow.
Yeah. They're trying to help the prosecution.
And they're not even qualified.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
Not even qualified. but prosecution's interested. It could be. They said it could be a new way of doing things. You listen to the 4 till 7 Thang on your Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Why, over there is Gavin Woods. Our producer is Big Si. And on the line is farmer Jeremy Clarkson. Clarky, you're right.
Greetings. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Listen, Clarky, how are you coping with lockdown?
I'm a key worker.
Yeah.
I barely noticed there's any difference. I haven't really moved more than 300 yards from the house in
nice.
6 weeks.
Nice.
And
nice.
I'm incredibly busy.
But,
incredibly busy.
What have you been busy doing? Because I've read about you. I've been following you in the Daily Star.
You will.
Seriously.
Well, that's like what I've been doing.
Okay.
I've definitely been doing everything they said.
Okay, now you...
I've delivered 140 lambs.
Have you?
Whoa.
Yeah. One of them had its legs the wrong way around, so I had to put on the Harriet glove.
Yeah.
And slide in there.
Did you?
That's such an innocent-sounding name, the Harriet glove.
The Harriet glove.
The Harriet glove. But then I was in there, and I wasn't able to get within 6 feet, obviously, of the shepherd, who said, "Can you feel the legs?" And I went, "No, I can't." And she said, "Can you feel the head?" "No, I can't feel anything." "Keep pushing." So Ian and I went deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
"Have you feel? I can't feel anything now." And then I went, "How many entrances does a sheep have at the back?" And I've got the wrong one.
Okay, there we go. That can happen, though, can't it?
No, so that was a really busy time, but they're all out in the fields now. The fox is eyeing them up. And the wheat's all dying, the barley's dying.
Okay, hang on a second. Have you seen foxes eyeing up your sheep?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes, five of them. There are five of them.
Was it through the sights?
Okay.
But no, here's the other one as well. The sheep have worked out how to open the hen house doors.
Whoa.
Now, there's no reason why, there's no advantage for them to do that. They just let the hens out into the jaws of the foxes.
Right.
So the sheep, every night, they just go, should we go and let the hens out? And then they go and do that. And people say sheep are stupid. They're not.
No.
They go and let the hens out on purpose.
Yes, because they want to fill up the fox's tummies, so they're not much of a target. It's classic, isn't it?
So that's all I can think of.
That is what they're doing. That's what they're doing. It's like sort of offering someone a drive-in McDonald's so they won't have too much dinner. It's obvious.
It's politics making strange bedfellows.
It really is. Okay, Clark, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, the Star were big on this, and I like to try and follow their stories up. I understand you've got a Lamborghini tractor there, a Lamborghini.
Oh, yeah, I've always got that. Of course I've got a Lamborghini. What other sort is there?
And you've crashed it 10 times, have you, according to the Star?
No, more. No, that was last week.
What, the Star have they've undersold it. That's unusual for the Star, that they've missed out on the chance for a bit of hyperbole.
No, I crash it every single time I get into it.
What's your problem?
It's just so enormous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really stop when you press the brakes or steer when you turn the steering wheel.
Okay.
And you just hit everything. Plus, there's always an implement on the back of it, which I always forget about. So you swing round the corner thinking, I've got this. And there's an almighty twang as your cultivator.
Yeah, yeah.
Smashes into your bins or another tractor or a hedge or a telegraph pole.
Yeah.
I've removed so many miles of hedges with whatever I've got on the back of it.
Yeah. Have you got...
No, I'm useless.
As a farmer, what's the biggest thing you've bought so far just to let... Just to let rot in a field?
That's a good question. The tractor barn's quite big.
Nice.
I had an enormous barn, but my tractor was so vast it wouldn't go in it. So I had to build another barn... And incredibly, that isn't big enough either.
Oh my God.
Definitely start doing T-shirts. My tractor's so big, I had to move to a third barn. Great. That's a bestseller at any agricultural show. You take that one to Peterborough. Seriously. When's lambing? Is lambing over now? Have you done that?
Lambing's over. The lambs are all boinging around. That's okay. Okay. And I have seen the foxes. And
okay, five foxes.
Five Foxes, the television program, we've got them all banged to rights.
Okay.
You can write as much as you like. They're out there and okay. They're waiting.
And lastly, the Gull Menace. I know Lisa, your lady, quoted 2,000 to us, even though you'd said to the Star only 1,000 gulls. She said 2,000. What's the count there now? How's the gull problem on Clarkie's
farm?
Well,
I went out the other day to do a very small 4-acre bit of cultivating. I live 70 miles from the coast.
Yeah.
70 miles.
Yeah.
Fired up the tractor, lowered the cultivator, began to plough. Within 4 minutes, they had covered 70 miles.
Yeah,
not many. Yeah. Only a couple of hundred. Only a couple of hundred this time. But a couple of hundred gulls had flown several thousand miles an hour.
Yeah.
From Weston-super-Mare or wherever my nearest bit of coast is, or Southampton, and then they'd made it to eat worms. Incredibly
How
fast.
Did they know? I tell you what's a real mystery for me, okay? This is what I'm going to leave you with, and if next time we speak, you can get an answer for this, right? They talk about how the changing climate has meant that birds are migrating back from Africa earlier, right, to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
My question
how do
is,
they know?
How do they know what the weather's doing in Britain? If you could find that out for me. It's like how do the gulls in Weston-super-Mare know you're ploughing?
It is the country file weatherman never knows what the weather's going to be. And I want to say to him, look, if you don't know, just say I don't know.
Yeah, just say I don't know. Just tell us
when
that. We don't mind
on
that.
Monday it's going to do this, and on Tuesday it's going to do that. And he's never right.
Yeah, he's going to go.
So I plan my week, and then it's always wrong.
Oh, no,
so why don't you just say, I've no idea what the weather's going to do?
Yeah, just say.
But why doesn't he bring up a swallow?
Yes.
A swallow in Kenya and say, what's the weather doing this week? Because they know.
And on that bombshell, Clarkson, we'll speak to you very soon. Speak to you next week as we return to Clarkson's farm. Jeremy Clarkson, he's a farmer. He's a farmer. He's a farmer.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Guys, there's a real danger that you might be buying products from North Korea and propping up our favourite regime.
That cannot be true.
You know what? I'm tempted to just buy them because the only person who seems to always probably have quite a full plate, judging by his health, is Kim.
Yeah.
Is the Jong-in.
Sure.
And really,
sure.
It's if I could buy stuff that I know would just help the people and not him,
yeah,
then I wouldn't. I just want it. No. Anyway, North Korea is secret exporting thousands of tons of what, Gavin?
I can't guess. Toys?
No.
What
do you think?
Rice.
The world's biggest exporters of. You're not going to believe this.
Doilies.
Fake beards.
No. What for?
I don't know, Gavin.
Who's buying the beards?
I don't know. I guess those stonings, maybe. And it's like, who threw that? Who did? You know, maybe it's like a life of crime. Maybe it's
people trying to get into pubs before they're old enough.
It is. Well, anyway, thousands of tons of fake beards and eyelashes.
Wow.
As well as, get this other thing, right? I mean, this is the maddest economy ever. Guess what else they export millions of?
Hot dogs.
No, the world's biggest exporters of this. Accordions.
No, they're not.
Yes. So if you got a fake beard, if you like a fake beard,
accordions,
and you plot it up somewhere playing, then
me hearties.
Hey me hearties, then you're probably one of North Korea's golden buyers.
Accordions.
It's the black pig.
That is so weird.
Anyway, buyers of the goods, which also include baskets, they do baskets as well. But you wouldn't know because they're putting it out through China.
Oh, so it's got "Made in China" written on it.
Yeah, they're helping to prop up China's problems with the few exports they managed to. Anyway, what's amazing is the sample size. There's a website studied different things that North Korea is secretly exporting.
Yeah,
But North Korean goods sold over... The records they've looked at, for example, show that North Korea has exported 94 accordions to Guangdong province in China.
Accordions?
Yeah, and 431 accordions to Liaoning province since the start of last year. Is that heavy demand?
Is there a beer fest going on in China?
What's the per capita demand?
That's a kind of a German instrument, an accordion, isn't it?
But perhaps they're not really accordions. There's something in there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, there's the other thing. Is it says
what
accordions.
Are they? Yeah.
Excuse me, mate. What time's the accordion arriving? We just sent you an accordion. What? Yeah, there's 431 accordions. It'll be with the beards. The fake beards.
Yeah, we've got the polka. We're going to play the polka.
How are them beards? Yeah. How are them beards? What, the fake beards? Yeah, no, I put them with the eyelashes.
Wow.
I think what we're looking at is code, Gav.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, though, there is a discrepancy.
Right.
Because only 1 kilogram... between the 27,000 kilograms of fake eyelashes, eyebrows and beards sent from North Korea to Guangdong, and then 27,000 kilos went on from there to France and Germany. So they're trying to make out they're sending these, but look, I mean, only 1 kilo actually stays in China.
That's bizarre.
So they're exporting.
They're sneaky.
Sorry, let me make this clear. It's so hard to wade through the stats, but they exported 27,003 kilos of fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
And that, so they went from North Korea to Guangdong, Liaoning, and Anhui provinces, yeah?
Then they moved it to Europe, but kept...
But 27,002 kilos? They only kept a key. They kept a key.
That is weird.
1 kilo.
Eyelashes and hair.
Of eyelashes, yeah.
Wow. God knows what it's made of.
That'd be a weird episode if they remade Scarface. He's just there with bags and bags of eyelashes.
Just loads of hair on his desk.
Covering his body just with eyelashes and beards. I made what I could on the side. Sorry, I grew what I could on the side.
Radio X.
Gav, you got a hero?
Sure.
Every single day of the week, the woman has a hero. Can I just say, when I first learned how to download things on iTunes, I made a massive mistake and downloaded about 170 tunes by an artist that all the ones I didn't want.
Really?
But the second person I downloaded was the guy you're about to talk about because they made some of my favourite music of all time and yeah. I love to listen to them. Gav, tell us about the man the world has had to say goodbye to.
Okay, so sadly, Florian Schneider, the hero today, has passed away. He was born in 1947 in Baden-Württemberg in southern Germany, moved to Düsseldorf at 3 years old and grew up there. He met Ralf Hütter, the other half of Kraftwerk.
Was he in Düsseldorf, Ralf?
Yes.
I was born in Düsseldorf.
And Florian at a music college in the late 60s.
Nice.
Florian was a flute player and violinist and played a bit of keyboards. And Ralf was a organist and piano player.
What's surprising, Gav? It's like, you know, people, what Kraftwerk did was so futuristic and ahead of its time.
Yes.
That what I love is when you find out underneath it all, you've got two brilliant musicians. It's like finding out Damien Hirst, for all his stuff, can actually do an amazing...
A really good draft.
Bowl of fruit. Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, when they started, Kraftwerk were not an electronic band. I'm going to play you a quick clip their first ever album. They formed in 1970. This is the first kind of thing they did.
Were they as early as that?
Yeah, really early. So this is... That's Florian playing the flute.
I like this, though.
And this is a real bass player and a real drummer.
And that's Kraftwerk.
This is Kraftwerk. This is their first album called Kraftwerk.
I'm going to get this.
It's an instrumental.
I love that.
It's brilliant. And they carried on doing that. They once, before they were in Kraftwerk, they were in a band called Organization. And they did an album with five other musicians. They did an album called Tone Float. They were very into art. The reason they went with that image of them, two of them in the suit,
yes,
is because they went to see a Gilbert and George exhibition. Gilbert and George are famous artists that brought art into their everyday life.
Yeah.
And the image of the two men in suits, they nicked from Gilbert and George, which
You're
I didn't know.
You're kidding me?
Absolutely amazing, yeah.
The Scots again, eh? How about that?
Later on, they got into the more electronic stuff, the synths, the drum machines, the samples. Florian himself was the one always singing into the vocoder.
And was he?
Yes, and they were doing things like
fun,
this.
Hey!
Good guess.
I love this tune. Do you know, my weird thing is my kids grew up listening to this.
Yeah.
This is what we always play. We're starting out on anywhere on the motorway. I go, here we go, settle down, kids, because it's fun on the motorway.
It's amazing, isn't
yeah.
it? They also did, this is another one of their famous ones, Tour de France.
Oh, I love this one. What's that lovely little...
That's a synth. It's just a synth.
Okay.
And or a drum machine. Same thing. Analog synth.
And would it have been... I mean, they used to sort of make out that synth was this easy way of doing things. You played that bit they started off doing in the 70s.
In those days, they were literally recording each track onto a tape, having yeah. played in. And they were doing things like slapping radiators with a wet towel for the snare sound.
Oh, that was just afterwards.
No. And they were just repeating.
That's just
it.
How Germans relax.
Yeah, not until later when samplers came around,
yeah.
where you could just pick 20 samples and play them on the keyboard.
What's amazing is that first album you picked out there.
Yeah.
It's like they were already looping, but they're doing it with real instruments. You see, when there was a sort of repetition
That's
going
That's right.
On.
But by this time, they were using sequenced yeah. drum loops and things like that.
But before that, they were sort of doing it naturally anyway.
That's right, live.
Yeah, right.
They also did Trans Europa Express, which was sampled.
Planet Rock.
Well, that's the original, and yeah. this is the, well, the one...
So gone down a bit, but it's the same, really.
Yeah, it's the yeah. same. That's Afrika Bambaataa. I mean, their influences are ridiculous. I was working it out with Big Si earlier. Depeche Mode, Orchestral...
Big Si would have loved that.
Depeche Mode, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Martin Gore from Depeche Mode, and Vince Clark from Erasure, both yeah. said that Kraftwerk are their biggest influences. Afrika Bambaataa and Arthur Baker, the producer of that record, yeah. both said, we got together to do our favourite music, which was Kraftwerk.
Gav, the thing that really made me go back and revisit Kraftwerk,
yeah.
I'd liked them as a kid, like The Model and Autobahn and Tour de France, which
yeah,
I
yeah.
heard. It was only when I started watching like hip-hop documentaries, and I said, we think of Kraftwerk as being the whitest, least ghetto
German.
Group of men.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, German.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly realise, as well as inventing cinema, photography,
well,
you
don't
name
forget
it,
bands,
they also invented hip-hop, the
don't
Germans.
Forget bands
God.
Like Air,
yeah.
bands like Daft Punk, Basement Jaxx, yeah. Aphex Twin.
Yeah.
It's just this set of Joy Division.
Yeah.
What about Joy Division?
Amazing.
Ian Curtis's favourite band. Anyway, let's salute him, Florian Schneider.
Florian Schneider, God rest you. 4 till 7 thing salutes you. If you haven't really got involved with Kraftwerk, great, great stuff to have on in the car or kitchen.
Really good, yeah.
Brilliant.
But there was a story from Johnny Marr. When he worked with them, they were so reclusive. They have their studio called Kling Klang Studio.
Oh, man.
And they had a phone in there with no ringer because they didn't want any noise pollution while they were busy working. And the way they received phone calls was...
Yeah, go on.
You arranged for a time when they would just pick it up.
Oh,
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
So, Gav,
yeah.
the BA and other airways, their loss is the country's gain. Are you ready for this?
How? Go on.
Because I've seen the future of air travel. The RAF is set to take on pilots from British Airways and engineers from other UK aviation companies as the sector continues to struggle during the lockdown.
Yeah.
Do you know something? For a lot of the year, because it's about school holidays and families going to, I just hand all the aviation business to the RAF.
That's a great idea.
There's not all the messing around. They can start just have sniffer dogs going over everyone. Everyone just gets on board. Flights to places like Lanzarote.
Yeah, well, you mean just get on with it?
You must just have a Hercules with a bar at the end.
I want that.
Yes.
Or those massive Chinooks
yeah.
with the twin blades.
Well, ish, Gav.
Yeah, because you can get your Jeep out
to
Spain.
Also, there's none of these, but you know, you can just use RAF stations then.
Yeah. There's
none of this hassle about booking slots. And easy, oh, they've got to have the slots and running. No. Literally, this time of year, lots of people are going, we've got literally 50, imagine a whole, like those bomber raids, when you get like 100 aircraft all going at once. That's exactly what happens. We just literally, no, 30,000 people are off to Tenerife, like a bang.
In one go.
In one go.
And we can park our cars on the grass by the airfield
right.
and walk onto the plane.
No hassle.
Brilliant.
RAF bases are the new, they can become, for me, that's the future of the package.
Where store. Are we leaving from? Bryce Norton.
Yeah, there's no putting your luggage below either. It's just pack up your troubles and
over your shoulder.
Your
yeah,
kit
yeah.
bag and away.
Yeah,
your kit bag and away you go.
Radio X.
That that banquet, block party. I tell you where neither of those things are happening.
Is it Chiswick?
Exactly right. We go over once more. We make our daily trip to Chiswick, where little Si waits for us.
Hello!
Hello, little Si. I told Simon, get some Twia music for him. Get something more sort of parochially downtrodden.
Yes.
Oh, I like this one.
Of course you do. Of course
this,
you do.
Little Si, is this what you listen to when you're out rambling?
This is yeah, right. This is exactly who it was composed for. So that people like you can go, oh, that's interesting.
Ooh, we'll stop there for lunch, I think.
Normally don't get wildodendrons in this particular... Good Lord.
A lovely walk.
Slavis Karudjai, here in this hedge. Good Lord. Normally I'd have thought the chaffinch would have taken them that away, but my God, it seems to have prevailed.
Well, the chlamydia looks lovely this year.
Easy, Gav.
What?
Little Si, how are you?
Oh, God.
Please stop moving. Please stop moving, honestly.
I've got a really good fact for you.
Go on, then.
Literally learnt today.
We'll be the judge of that.
Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know whether it is interesting.
Pete, I love that. Did you hear him then? Audibly Peter in confidence.
He put it down. He undersold.
He audibly petered. Wasn't it? His confidence. I've got a great fact for you. Well,
you might not like it.
Then he realises it's us. It's a bit sad,
okay,
really, actually.
So, do you know how to keep bags of salad fresh for longer?
Nobody. I'm looking forward to
impossible,
this. Go on.
Because it is impossible, isn't it?
It
always
is.
Goes off. It always, after like...
It's the only thing. It's the only thing where you just think that normally you trust things over the sell-by date. Salad's got to be... Once you open it, it's still like 3 days under and it's smelling
easily,
like...
It's sludge already.
Compost, yeah, right.
Johnny, I've switched to just buying iceberg lettuce.
That's what
now.
I've done as well.
I do the same, yeah. Whole head of lettuce.
I can't be doing with it. But anyway,
it's
now...
It's a rip-off as well.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. So now...
Are we agreeing about something?
That is weird.
Did we agree?
All three of us agreed.
Is this the first thing we've ever agreed on that we all think it's better to actually just buy Koss or iceberg lettuce on its own?
Yeah.
But also, what's really satisfying, what I love doing with a Koss, which is the ball one, that's a Koss lettuce.
No, Koss is the long...
Oh, iceberg
Romaine
lettuce.
Is the long one,
yeah. So an iceberg lettuce, I love doing?
That's the round one, yeah.
Yeah. I love plunging my claw into it and pulling out the heart, and then I raise it above.
I have the heart.
Yes. No, I even
like
move,
a Viking.
I even move my fingers like... Because you can do it. It's so satisfying.
It is.
Anyway, Simon, you probably don't have as much fun as me, but what do you do?
How do you keep bag salad fresh then?
Okay, so you just put a couple of sheets of kitchen roll in it.
Why?
That's all you do.
Who told you that?
And it wicks out the water, and it keeps it fresh.
Yeah, no, I fully get it. Who gave you this tip?
It was on the bag of salad that I just bought.
Oh my God!
Wait, what salad was it? Where'd you get the salad?
It's Mark's.
It might only be Mark's salad.
Can I say I always judge people's class by how they say Mark's and Spencer's. You get Mark's, M&S.
Mark's and Sparks.
Mark's and Sparks. Yeah. You can always see. And you can see for him, it was quite a treat.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. The way he said it was from Mark's. You know that when Mrs. Williams went down there, it wasn't like being probably at, at the in-laws.
Everything's £2 in there, isn't it? £2 or £4?
What?
Nothing's in between. There's no £1.78. It's just
£2. And if it was £4, it's now got a sticker on that says £2.
That's right.
Anything else, Si, apart from this very interesting discussion about how to keep our salad fresh by simply putting kitchen roll?
I can't believe that's...
That's very good.
It is big news.
Good bit of chat, that.
I say,
surprise.
Compared to what else we've had, that is content.
It is.
That is content.
It is.
That's content. How's not speaking to your wife all day so you've got something to discuss in the evenings?
Yeah, it's been going all right. Actually, you know what? During this time...
What do you mean this time?
Well, just the whole, the last kind of 7
okay,
weeks.
Okay, I don't know. How long you want to go back?
I've realised that I am a professional potterer. An expert potterer.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay, can I just say, Si, this is what happens when we try and stretch weak content out, isn't it? Because I would watch
footage of little Si pottering.
Seriously,
set to music.
Sick individual.
Set to Keith Sweat.
Yeah,
I don't know how I do it. Like, literally, I feel really busy, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
you've done nothing.
Back,
you've done nothing.
Literally
just
done
pottering.
Nothing.
Yeah, you tell me. You just described my life. Thank you. Yeah.
I reckon I could out potter either of you.
Gav,
I've seen you at it as well, Johnny. Turbo pottery.
You've seen my.
And you are an expert potterer.
You've seen my flat. My flat is just that.
It is a pottery.
It's just a pot. It's the pottery. Exactly right. Little Si, it is your duty every day to give us a working from home whistle. This is to tell Britain's beleaguered workers that actually it's over for the day. That's it.
Yep.
There's no more work. Here is where the line is drawn.
Yep.
Work, play. You're now free to potter.
Should I do it?
Yeah. No, sorry. I was getting ready for tomorrow. What do you think? What sort of billing do you need?
Take a wild stabby guess, Little Si.
Did it sound like I was introducing you again?
So you want it now, yeah?
Yes!
I proclaim the working day over!
Right, get back to pottering.
Thank you very much indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, friend to the show, member of the team.
friend to the show. Just about.
Wait a second. Can I just say something to you? For me, that was a big deal. You're all laughing. I'm thinking, okay. Do you know what? For me, that's like positive affirmation. I didn't realise by seemingly pushing him further away from the show, it seemed like the friendly thing to do. He's a friend of the show. He drops it. Drop in next time you're in the West End. I'll see you soon, Little Si. We miss you, matey. Take care.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
I've got a new idea for policing Britain. And it came to me through a very surprising... came to me quite surprisingly.
Okay.
Yeah, this, the influence of this one.
Right.
I think this is going to interest you, as I know my biggest fan.
Uh-huh.
Citizen archaeologists. Which is the funniest thing.
What a combo of words.
No, it's just archaeologists. Unless, of course, they are Howard Carter or some proper... Wasn't he an Aristotle? Oh, no. The Earl who backed him wasn't he?
Yeah.
Citizen archaeologists studying aerial images.
Yeah.
Citizen archaeologists. Honestly, this volunteer culture, when it gets to that level, it's ridiculous, Gav.
Yeah.
I'll start again. Citizen archaeologists studying aerial images of more than 1.3 million acres are rewriting the history of Iron Age and Roman Britain because they're just going through Google Maps and they're looking at patterns on the ground.
Okay, yeah.
Now, you're not going to learn a lot. An Iron Age site, Christ, they're unexciting. They're not as unexciting. They're a bit less exciting than Roman ones.
They're kind of samey, aren't they?
You don't find anything.
No,
it's just all it is hoarding, like museums.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about all this stuff that we need to have. And it's just not wanting to give them back. We got stuff hoarded in these in these private warehouses that the museums use. Used to be the one in Blyth Road, that big one they've shut down now, which I've been to. And you see all this stuff, and you know the countries we've nicked this from, they all want it back, but we won't. It's like Oscar Wilde says, a lot more people would get rid of the partner they're with if they didn't think someone else would find it useful, like with rubbish.
Right.
And it's the same
with
this
stuff. That's a really good point, I don't want it, but I don't want anyone else suddenly finding it.
A lot of people won't, because they can't bear the thought of that person they don't like with someone else.
Someone
else not liking them.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, anyway, the point is, Gav, for policing Britain, we've got a lot of pensioners, obviously a lot of time on their hands.
Yes.
Well, it's obvious. They should just be given, like, CCTV to look at. They're always short of operators.
They wouldn't get bored of that.
The important thing is, right, is they don't know what street they're looking at.
Okay.
To stop stalkers.
Because he's going to get
people just following people around. No, there's none of that. They just look at streets. And if they see someone looking suspicious, they log that person. But they build up a profile of faces that are familiar on that street anyway, people that live there. So any strangers,
never
forget. It's what we're going to call... Code name Navajo. I say that because the word in Navajo for stranger is the same as their word for enemy. Rather like in say Sunderland.
Right.
Very similar. Like strangely, I saw a stranger come in. Let's get him. Let's pan his head in.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, Gav, they could just have pensioners gazing at the day. He looks like, because you imagine they
don't like the look of him.
I don't like the look of him. Okay, you'd have to have a moderator, what I call a ridiculator.
And you would need some tea and biscuits.
Yeah. Oh,
you
pay him in biscuits.
Yeah.
Pay him in biscuits.
They'd work for biscuits.
That's
a problem,
absolutely right. Just you pay him a fistful of nice and they'll be fine. Seriously, they get a little envelope. They can just get one of those little packs. from...
Oh, he's looking in that front garden again. Look at him. Look
but
at
he's
him.
He's a bit busy around there.
Yeah,
but they get to know it. They wouldn't know where the street was. They wouldn't have a clue.
No.
And then each week they go to different places. Or you keep them on a street and they become a bit familiar with it if they get...
Well, it depends how many arrests they get.
Yes.
You could get a list of, like, a sales staff.
It seems to me just... I mean, we don't want pensioners operating drones around the place because that get a bit...
That's risky.
I don't think he should be with her. I think they're badly married. We don't want that of getting involved and stuff. But
no.
I'm just saying, we want the RAF doing all holidays.
Yes, all flights.
Definitely, because it is mass migration. They can handle that.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, literally.
It really is.
1,000 bomber holidays.
Yeah, all at once.
Buzzing towards Tenerife. Buzzing towards Benetton. Suddenly, literally, the cloud, the sky darkens. That'll be next week's only, makers. Literally, just all coming at once.
Parachuting.
Bang. Yeah. Just shove them out the back.
Ibiza getting peppered with parachutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't matter. Just hit anywhere on the island. Anyway, Gav, I think that's the way forward.
Radio X.
This is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Just reading an obituary today in the Times. I do enjoy the Times obituaries.
Yeah.
Telegraph's are slightly stronger.
Right. They're so well written.
You just get the feeling if it's military that they knew them. But today we've got Lieutenant Colonel John Weston. Absolutely brilliant. This guy's a really brave man, awarded a military cross in Malaysia. But
right.
You just get these, you know, you get those lovely bits. In the middle of the text, you get a little quote that's brought out in bold.
Yeah.
Here's a real beauty.
Go on.
At a party, he was introduced to the man who'd shot him. Which is one of the best I've ever read. Listen, we're back in a second. Stay with us.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
How about this? This is something that. Look, I was talking to you about staff, okay, and staffing problems.
Mm.
A lot of people at the moment, the government's now said you can have your cleaners back, and that's something. You know, quite a lot of people who work and stuff got cleaners who have to do that stuff during the day. But get ready for this one, Gav.
Go on.
Many nannies are scared to return to work because they're worried about using public transport.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a real problem with me, but my footman, yeah?
Yeah.
He's making similar complaints, and the butler as well. How's your butler doing?
Well, he's still refusing to come in, and my gamekeeper is self-isolating. I'm having to buy my pheasant.
Who, Fergus?
Yes.
He's kicking off.
Yeah, he's quite short and he's very gruff.
Yeah.
But he won't answer his phone.
I'm having the same problems with old Tam.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah. You know, the old man of the croft, as we call him. I mean, what's really annoying is I nearly fired him anyway. Yeah, because he's missing stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Things are going walkies.
Yes. He's also fallen out with all the falconry stuff.
Right.
And
what about your moatman? Is he still keeping the moat looking good?
He's all right. I caught him stealing pike.
So you haven't even got anyone to do your beatings for you.
Worried about public transport. So that's why I've got you. That's literally why I got you a 1972 Daimler Limousine. I look around the house. I think it's not gonna tidy itself, is it? This cutlery isn't gonna polish itself, is it?
Oh, it's weird. I had to toast my own bread the other day for breakfast.
Unbelievable. 83936. Please, the problems you've got with your staff.
Yeah.
Anywhere on your estates, please. Just give us. We really want Radio X State news. So please, any troubles with staffing or
tailor, yeah, or anyone?
Don't even talk to me about my tailor. Well, loads of you out there are experiencing problems with your staff on your various estates. We have. But you know they are, Gav. Aristocrats, aren't they?
They are aristocrats.
Our listeners are... I don't see them as listeners. I see them as aristocrats.
Well, just by listening, you become an aristocrat.
Dear TJ, during the lockdown, I've got to tell you now, HJ, yeah?
Humble John.
Yeah. Humble John. Yeah? Humble John.
Sure.
Because I haven't been down the gym. I haven't been toughing it out. Anyway, hey, TJ, our ironing lady is no longer coming in. Sorry I struggled with the opening of that sentence. I don't normally. Normally, I'm pretty verbally dexterous.
Sure.
Dear TJ, our ironing lady is no longer coming in. Do you realise just how difficult it is to read an unironed copy of the Times every morning? And my monocle hasn't been polished either, to add insult to injury. That's from Lord Romford. Thank you, Your Lordship. Gav, what do you got?
Big TJ, that should be HJ.
Yeah.
I had to eat my cucumber sandwiches around the crusts at lunch because my cook wasn't there to cut them off. Absolutely outrageous. That's Jake the Sparky.
How about this? My Batman won't carry my swagger stick from the Bentley. Mark. I think Lord of all the Gerrards cross. What you got, Gav?
The scullery maid and gamekeeper have not yet returned, so currently only able to utilise the houseboy and laundry maid. Ghastly times.
It ends last ghastly times.
Ghastly times.
Hey, TJ and the Woodman. Mm. TJ and the Woodman. It sounds like something awful in Australia that you're told about. It's the best radio show and you actually listen to
it. Oh, TJ and the Woodman.
TJ, mate, you got some jokers out there.
That's right.
Yes, right, yeah. And you listen to it and you think, TJ and the Woodman. Thank you. Thank
God.
Wow, Simon. Do you know what? Little Si just can't give that quality.
I know, Big Si plays you like a piano.
Easy Si, so we won't get him back.
Yeah.
Hey, TJ and the Woodman. I'm having problems with my greenkeeper. Up here on Royal Deeside.
Good God.
Clearly disgruntled after I put him on furlough for 2 months. He's left the rough a bit long on the back nine. No. One is not amused, doesn't say, but presumably that's probably the Duke of Elbow and all the Forthinian Isles.
And Lord Wallington.
What's he
says,
saying?
TJ and Gav, I got a finger cut this morning from my morning paper. Giles, my page turner, failed to arrive.
Classic. Hey, Johnny, Bruce Martin here. Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Bruce.
Hello, Your Grace. My sommelier is point blank refusing to come onto the estate to tend the wine cellar and consult me on what wine to drink for dinner every night. That is shocking. Also, my chandelier buffer is AWOL. AWOL. What's a man to do?
Oh, says the Duke of Scunthorpe. He's in a bind, isn't he?
Thank you, Your Grace. Gaff.
Well, listen to the problems the Marquess of Billington and Maimon is having.
What's that?
All this ballyhoo of late has meant my cook, Mrs. Scribbins, hasn't been fulfilling her duty. I haven't seen guinea fowl at the grand table in quite some time. Oh. I also haven't had my bed turned down in a week. I was forced to step onto the balcony to berate the night air with my discontent. And then I was forced to slip into the four-poster peasant style, forcing my nightwear to become ruffled, revealing undercarriage to the less than crisp sheets. I wish you gentlemen better fortune than myself in these rogue times.
Do you call? I mean, Marquesses are going to be dukes, so that means they will be Your Grace. But are they? Which means they're from the blood.
Wow.
The holy blood. Wow. But is a Marquess addressed as Your Grace? I don't know. 83936.
No idea, yeah.
Perhaps you could tell us, Billington.
Yeah.
Also, how about this? Lordy. Not a title I know, but Lordy. Can you help having to draw my... Can you help? Because at the moment I'm having to draw my own bath.
Oh, good God.
I don't know where to start. I think to draw a bath is super.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yes?
Whoa, sorry. Why? Do you know what? That's the real disadvantage of me having my little head.
Yeah, it is. You get feedback. It is.
Yeah, sorry if you just were really offended by that feedback. That was due to my little head. And the headphones don't, unfortunately.
It's your glasses as well. They're pushing the cans apart slightly.
Yeah.
Just creating that little air gap that gives you a bit of feedback.
Is that what it is, Gav?
That's what I think, yeah.
Man.
It's just my opinion.
You've got to meet the Woodman. He's more than interesting. No, but he knows stuff like that.
That's my opinion, Marty.
Can I just say, listen to the Woodman every day here on the 4 till 7 thing. He's exclusive to
us. I am, yeah.
Gav, when I hear the word secret team.
Yeah.
And then the word invent. Uh-huh. Already I'm thinking, okay, they're a secret team, are they?
Right.
And they're, secret team invent helmet to read the mind. Now, for me, yeah, what goes on in your head is sacred stuff, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's yours. What's in your head should be yours, yeah?
That's correct.
You shouldn't be able to hack that, send stuff into. It's bad enough with subliminal messaging,
yeah.
But actually directly being able to type in. So potentially from someone's phone, you can just literally, boom, get this.
Go on.
A helmet that's predicted to transform the understanding of the human mind has been devised by a team of scientists working largely in secret. And why do they have to work in secret? To monitor the electric impulses and blood moving through the brain, researchers have typically used expensive, unwieldy contraptions. And there's a moment coming up, yeah, that it's so Austin Powers. Are you ready?
Go on.
Get ready. This is Ben Hoyle, Los Angeles correspondent at the Times. He says, to monitor the electrical impulses and blood moving through the brain, researchers have typically used expensive, unwieldy contraptions that occupy an entire room at a specialist facility and cost more than $1 million.
A whole $1 million?
No, it's really not a lot. I was really unimpressed by that. Yeah. They've used, behold our machine! What's it cost? $1 million? We're going to need another $1 million. Anyway, the point is, in 4 years, the neuroscientists, software engineers, and hardware designers who've assembled at this Los Angeles startup They've compressed the technology into an affordable unit covered in sensors that can be worn on the head. They're saying it's going to help people who suffer paralysis to communicate just by thinking of words, or enabling consumers to track mental functions. Presumably,
wow.
Also, if someone wants you to buy something, they'll just be able to zap it into your brain. You suddenly think it's,
yep.
Listen to the 4-7 thing on Radio X.
Radio X.
It's time for an aristocrat of radio items.
Wonderful.
Because it is the greatest item in the history of radio. Martin in the Radio X office has had a broken hot tap for over 6 years, which inspired our feature.
Martin's hot tap. He needs a new one. But he can't be to get it done.
How about the clapping? That was Gav from Newport with his heartfelt version.
Wow.
Martin's hot tap
such
theme.
Melodies.
Martin's hot tap theme. I mean, like other, should I say, other radio shows, they love to create that illusion. They're doing loads off the ball. They organise all these things with celebs endorsing them and holding up, saying, I'm backing you.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it make any show a more entertaining listen?
No.
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 No. No.
Does Gav from Newport?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
He does.
Okay, we're not big on our initiatives here.
No.
Yeah? It turns us
no, we aim low.
But no matter what, they can have all their charathons.
Exactly.
And all their things. But you know what? As long as they haven't got Martin's hot tap, they haven't got the jewel in radio's crown.
They're always losing, yep.
Absolutely right. They're Gav, they're going to lose that one 10 times out of 10.
10 times.
10 out times
ten.
Out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, if you want to have a go, send your efforts to johnny@radiox.co.uk. As the song says, we're after all those things you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Hashtag MHT. Hashtag CBA. Can't be asked. First up, Amber in Tooting. She can't be asked. This time last year, I caught the handle on one of our kitchen cupboards with my pocket.
I hate that.
It's always a bit on the shirt. If I've got shirts untucked, it's one handle. And I've got about four shirts that got holes in it because the handle's just gone straight through.
I use a squash court door handle in my kitchen door.
Do you?
Yeah, so that there's nothing to catch when you walk through. God, it's so...
Gav, you're just an aristocrat. You're an aristocrat. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Amber in Tooting, she can't be asked. This time last year, I caught the handle of one of our kitchen cupboards with my pocket and I pulled the door clean off the right-hand side of the unit.
Clean off.
Yeah.
She's the dirty Harry.
Clean off.
Yeah.
Making it difficult to rehang. I just rotated the door 180 degrees and hung it from the left-hand side. Genius. However, genius. We now have to open the cupboard with our feet. As I can't be asked to move the handle, which is now at the bottom of the door. Can I just say, this is something that in Leftovia, the fictitious country I've created with my children to explain the world, there are no, and there never have been any handles that you operate with your hand.
Yeah, they're all foot.
They're all footles, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing we have is footles in Leftovia.
Not handles.
So on the door, as you approach a door, and it's the same with taps. There's nothing hand-operated in Leftovia that would mean you just put your hand where someone else put their sweaty hand. They just can't bear that thought.
Wow.
Even when they meet each other, they tap feet instead of a handshake.
So they were always prepared for a pandemic.
Always prepared. Yeah. They would not have hit the citizens of Leftovia or Leftovia, depending if you're genked or hurched.
It reminds me of the meat game, John, when
it
you use a knee-operated sink. To wash your hands.
Yes, yes. Or and in a lot of hospitals, they're the ones you can do with your elbows.
That's right, the surgeon's ones. Yeah, yeah.
But the idea of these door handles, it annoys me every day when I arrive here. And I always have to... I've just cleaned my hands getting out of the car. I've arrived from home. I've driven here.
Yeah.
And now straight away...
Door handle.
I've got a door handle. I'm thinking there's a guy sitting there. Other side of the door. No, the hook. I tried big size.
It's not big enough.
It's too big.
Yeah,
it's
too
big.
The door handle out front.
Thank you. So I'm saying that because someone sent in a door
a puller. Yeah,
a puller. Because I've got my teaspoon I use as well to hook doors open. But there's a security guy there thinking, oh, go on, just kick the door open for me. Just use your foot on that side to push it, so I haven't got to pull it with the handle. But it's become quite a staring match now. That Gav. 5 minutes we were staring each other out today till he buckled. Go on, Gav. What's yours?
This is from number ending 7393. I'm a plumber, and my click-clack plug in my bathroom has been broken for a year.
Yep.
The plug doesn't lock down when you want to fill the basin.
Ah.
So I wrap a flannel around the plug very tightly.
Good man.
And just shave really quickly before the water drains away. I've had the replacement waste and plug fitting sat on the shelf next to the sink for months.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful work. And he's a plumber.
I talked to him. It's incredible how I get... It's now so much easier to get the thing you need on Amazon.
Yeah.
But the things I've got stockpiled for jobs waiting to do, it just gets... Maybe we need a separate one. I've got all this paper shredding. I bought a special paper shredder for
you. Yeah.
I've got an air condenser. I can't be bothered to do that. I've got all these things I bought. The latest being light bulbs.
Right.
I've got enough light bulbs now to do all the house.
Yeah.
Which is not that many.
No.
But they're just so high. You know, I've got those high ceilings.
Really high. You're going to need a big ladder.
God, I just can't be arsed. So what I've done now on the landing.
Scaffolding. You've put up scaffolding all the way around your front room.
All the lights have gone. All the lights have gone. So what I've done?
What?
Just little clip spots so I can just run from plugs.
Nice.
I can't reach any of the lights.
Nice.
So I've got these sort of stupid, my kids' old bedroom lights on the floor.
It must be such a weird atmosphere.
It's a weird vibe. Yeah. This is Tim and Guildford. Thank you very much indeed, Tim. One of the legs on our footstool snapped 2 weeks into lockdown. Bad time. Even if the shops had been open, I wouldn't have sought a proper fix. Good man. Instead, I took the lid off a sports water bottle, shoved it onto the stump of the broken leg. There's a slight wobble, but a well-placed drinks coaster fixes that.
Fantastic work from Tim in Guildford.
I hate to say Tim, but that's the sort of thing that does need a bit of a photo. Bit of a treat.
Send us a pic.
Because you've got a drinks coaster and a sports water bottle.
Brilliant.
You know the sports water bottles?
Mm.
Along with things that are sort of like thermos, flask-like coffee cups.
Yeah.
They breed in one of my cupboards. I swear.
I've got loads of them.
I haven't bought any of those. I look in there and I think, I haven't even bought that.
Yeah.
When did I buy a pink Miffy water bottle? And I find out it's just... No, but seriously, it was probably one of my kids years ago.
Left there.
Yeah, but they become... somehow, they find their way out of storage. They climb out of boxes and you sort of think, I didn't... What have I got? A Kath Kidston plate. Just one. With cowboys.
You've got me thinking of... Miffy, cute little bunny, Miffy.
I love Miffy.
It's brilliant.
Oh, it's just such a pleasingly simple drawing, isn't it?
Brilliant, right. Yeah.
Here's some lads that are rocking the world. Sorry, 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. If you've got any examples of shoddy DIY dodges or bodges, send us your Martin's Hot Tap, 83936 or email johnny@radiox. Also, if you want to sing the theme, remember... you can send those to johnny@radiox.co.uk. And, I mean, you see, quality's no bar.
You'll get on the radio.
You'll get on. Yeah. That guy just did. You will definitely be in it.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, Gav, I was talking earlier about how you love putting on, you and your wife, I know you've got those his and hers matching leather blues on jackets.
That's true, yeah.
And you like to wear burgundy.
Yeah.
Well, hers is a sort of tobacco colour.
I've got some matching slip-on burgundy.
Have you? Nice. Shoes they love to well. Scrub. They've got this big leather sofa. They love just to creak around in it.
Yeah.
Gav, especially when he's going, so have you been, Varney, and Lake Tahoe? And he just loves to clink ice.
And say things like, this is my home.
My home. But to me, just home.
It's home.
But Gav always, that's all they do, and him and his wife, they sort of look at each other and they just chink their ice in glasses. And they love awkward silences.
Sure.
They just smile at each other and go, yeah, you must come down more often, John. While it's a really bad atmosphere. I don't go around there much.
No.
Anyway, Gav, next time we're having a bottle of brandy, I want you to... it's not going to be as good a brandy as this. I know you've got
some fine brandy.
Get this. This amazes me. You know I'm obsessed with history and living history. And you know the most compelling fact that I love to put out there into the world, apart from the fact the last person guillotined in France was in 1977.
It always blows my mind.
I love to put out there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Queen's Silver Jubilee year of punk rock.
It's unbelievable.
French people guillotined. Whack.
That's just
the
bizarre.
Other one is that a woman died in 1970 in Kent whose dad was born in 1799. She's the last person in the world with 18th century parentage, yeah?
Wow.
And I love the fact that's living memory and what was going on in 1799.
Yeah, yeah.
Get this. It was the year Britain declared war on Spain. Louis XV ordered the construction of a palace at Versailles for his mistress, Madame de Pompadour. Further south, some grapes were being harvested that provided you've got deep enough pockets and not a little courage, you can now enjoy in one of the world's oldest cognacs. Would you believe?
What?
Two unopened bottles of Gautier 1762 will go on sale today at Sotheby's in London. Give me about 160 grand.
Wow.
But from 1762, and it's, I mean,
Gav, that is mind-blowing.
Well, no, but in lockdown, we're probably all quite aware of sell-by dates at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, best, 17...
Best before.
Best before. There's just nothing.
No. I mean,
even that apple juice that's in the window in sort of Greek supermarkets.
Yeah, that can last about 50 years.
3,017. Yeah. Best before. It's like a millennial day. It will go on forever, despite being natural. Natural. Anyway, the specialist who's looked at it said it should still be drinkable. The liquid is certainly, it's aged, but the ullage is still really good.
Oh, yeah? What's the ullage?
No, don't look
What's
at me.
What's ullage?
For a second, you were going to bluff it and go, I was, oh, good,
of
good.
Of course you do. What the hell is ullage?
No, but okay, these are key things we need to know when we're examining spirits of this stuff. You've got to look for the ullage.
What's ullage?
It's the level of the liquid.
Right.
So it means the seal hasn't been compromised.
Oh, I see.
Because it hasn't evaporated. It hasn't evaporated. Yeah.
That
so that's
sense.
The first thing. You like that, don't you?
I
the
love
ullage.
That. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, you write that down. Also, there's going to be a discernible OBE.
What's that?
That's old bottle effect.
Right.
Oh, a bit of the old OBE.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes this can give amazing tropical notes.
Really?
To the nose of it, the bouquet, yeah, it can give you tropical.
It's the old glass.
But
in
other
the
times, if it goes wrong,
yeah,
it can be a bit like porridge, they
right,
say.
Right, okay.
It's a big risk.
Massive
but
risk.
They're selling the Grand Frère bottle. The Grand Frère, that's the big brother.
Yeah.
But there is also the Petit Sœur.
The little sister.
Yes, you can buy as well. That's 50.
Le Petit Sœur.
You can buy that one as well. How about that, Gav?
1762.
How about it?
Captain Cook got married that year.
Really?
Yeah. Married
Is
Elizabeth
that just
Pat.
Offhand?
Yeah.
It better be really good, though. You spend 160 grand. You get a lot of people going, oh, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. God, that's worth it, isn't it?
I don't like
I
it.
Don't, I don't like it. It's not for me.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you do want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. johnny@radiox.co.uk. We'd love to hear your Martin's Hot Tap themes and your stories, your tales of talking to pets, heroes, bullshidos, barmy dads, any nicknames you've heard for our hunt for the world's greatest nickname, any of it. Enter the culture of the 4 till 7 thing. You know why? It's a dragon.